Hey there, family. We are in Hebrews 8, and today it's time to DTR. That's right, define the relationship. Okay, so I learned it from my kids, but it's very useful. For any relationship that lacks clear boundaries and purpose, it helps to verbalize what you mean to each other and how you relate. In Hebrews 8, the Lord will define the relationship with us. Actually, it's more of a remind than define. We have a covenant. Covenant defines relationship, and the whole Bible is built on it. But sometimes Christians, well, we forget what we have and slip back into old covenant ways. Sort of like a married couple that sincerely means their vows, but just forgets. Hebrews 8 is like God sending us our old vows, saying, "This is what you mean to me. This is how we relate." We begin at verse 1. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest. Now to get the weight of this, you have to remember what high priest means to the Hebrews he's preaching to, and what the tabernacle meant to them. Their whole lives, drawing near to God, meant traveling to the Temple Mount, singing psalms along the way, and bringing your sacrifices and offerings. But you didn't give them directly to God. You brought them to the priests. And ultimately, it was the high priest who brought your offerings before God. He was the mediator of your relationship with God. And for those Hebrews who now follow Christ, there would surely come times when they miss all that. Having a person to connect you, someone who could actually enter the temple with your offering. Now, most of us don't know what it's like to have a temple or high priest, but the part that matters here is your relationship with God. How do you draw near? And how do your church leaders fit into that relationship? Think about it. If you drew a diagram with you, God, and your church leaders with lines of relationship between you, how would you arrange it? Does the line from you to God go through someone else? Are others closer to God than you are? And is your diagram drawn the way God would have it? Now, to start out, I want to back up a few verses. Back in 7:22, the preacher told us that Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Don't miss that. Covenant is the basis of our relationship with God. Jesus guarantees us a better one. Why? Because it's direct and it's eternal. He finishes the work. He always lives to intercede for us. In other words, there is never a moment when Jesus isn't there for you to keep you connected to God. People will fail. They'll let you down. Back in the old temple, verse 27 reminds us that the other high priests had to offer sacrifices for sins day after day for themselves and us. They never stopped making amends for sin. Reminds me of the roads in Yellowstone. I've been there several times. Awesome. But it seems like they're always fixing potholes in the road. Turns out they are. Takes all summer to fix, and every freezing winter creates lots of new ones. It literally never stops, and it always creates traffic. Wouldn't it be great if they just found a new asphalt that doesn't need endless fixing? Or imagine if they had one and didn't realize it. That's what the preacher is telling us. If your conscience feels like that old pavement, and the guilt of sin just keeps tearing holes in it, you're operating in the old covenant. You need a better high priest. And now back in chapter 8, we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. The first thing to recognize about Jesus as high priest is to see where he is. Remember that the priests entered the tabernacle to light the menorah, burn the incense, and set the showbread. But only one entered the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary. A massive curtain blocked it, and the Ark of the Covenant sat alone with the mercy seat over it. There God would meet them, but no one entered, save for just one time each year, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The high priest entered with the blood of the sacrifice to atone for sins. For every Jew, that high priest was their connection. He got in. What a thing to know the guy that got in. But we know Jesus. He got in the real tabernacle, not the man-made one, the one God made, heaven. Verse 3 explains that just as the high priests could not enter the inner sanctuary without the blood of sacrifice, Jesus also entered with a sacrifice, his own blood. Then verse 4 tells us that Jesus isn't like the earthly priests because they already had plenty of those. Verse 5, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Wait, pause the sermon there. This is amazing. The tabernacle in the desert and later the temple in Jerusalem is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. In other words, it's like a scale model. God wasn't just designing a nice setup for the Jews to worship. He was giving them a scale model of his home in heaven. That blows my mind a little bit. Like, I don't even know where to file that mentally. For one, it makes the last half of Exodus way more interesting. And verse 5 says it's the reason why God was so particular that Moses make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But the real point here is that Jesus entered the real one, and we know him. He gets us in. Then in verse 6, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. We have a superior covenant, a better way of relating to God. In fact, the old covenant was never meant to be perfect. It was always meant to point to the new, to Jesus. Now remember, this applies to us too. Because so often we claim the new covenant, but act like we're in the old one. When we go through others to connect to God, or live our lives endlessly repairing sin's potholes, or just act like judgmental Pharisees, that's old covenant. We have a new one, and the preacher takes us to the Old Testament to remind us that God planned it back then. He quotes Jeremiah 31 for 5 long verses because it's so crucial. The Lord declared this promise at a time when God's people were at an all-time low, riddled with sin and facing exile. What follows is worth memorizing. In verse 8, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. And verse 10, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time. Get ready. These are the terms of our covenant with God, God's vows to you. We'll take it piece by piece. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. That is beautiful. No longer is following God a set of rules carved into stone or written on paper. It's like the difference between struggling to play notes from a page that just never quite sound right and playing straight from the heart. God writes the notes, his law, in our minds and on our hearts. Now doing what's right actually feels right, feels natural, from the heart. Back in verse 10, I will be their God and they will be my people. That's the very core of covenant. Think of the difference between pointing at a group and saying, those are people, or saying, those are my people. God calls us his people. And we don't just say, he is God. We say, he is my God. That's covenant. Verse 11, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. In the old way, to know God was to be told about him. We heard secondhand, and the people who taught would seem greater, closer to God. But in Jesus, we all get to know God directly. From least to greatest, there is no one on the diagram closer to God than you are right now. That should rock your world a little bit. How is that possible? Verse 12, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. You are forgiven. I know that's gospel basics, but do you really get what it does for you? Forgiven. Your sin is gone, and Jesus brings you right into God's sanctuary, righteous. That is God's covenant with you. He promised it on oath. The old is gone. Live in the new.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.